Welcome to the Watson Weekly. We're here on the Watson Weekly podcast today on a little bit of a somber but also hopeful celebratory occasion, celebrating the life of an industry titan, John Pinella, who we knew professionally as the group vice president at Publicis Sapient, but personally as one of the kindless, gentlest forces in the retail technology commerce industries over the past 30 plus years. I am here with a great panel, and that I will not even do them all justice. I will let them introduce themselves. So I will start with Giancarlo to introduce us, and then we will go around the horn.
Well, thanks, Rick. First of all, thanks for rolling the R. I appreciate it. Well, thanks for having me, and it's great to be on your show. So real quick intro, I have 20 plus years of partnership and alliances experience working on both the vendor side and the consultancy side. I've been with two companies for the last 15 years, Publicis Sapient, Deloitte, and back at Publicis Sapient, where the last 5 years I worked directly for John. If I was to surmise John in one word, and that's pretty impossible to do, but I'll try, it's mentor. He was definitely a mentor of mine for many years.
That's great. Thanks. Octavio?
Of course, Rick. Nice to be here on a summer occasion. John, to me, I'm going to start with that. I mean, he was a very generous person for a newbie like me a few years ago. I am part of General Motors. At the time that I met him, was part of the engineering team that rolled out our new digital commerce solution. And he was a great mentor to me. So it's nice to be here. I'm sure that we're going to talk about it in the next few minutes.
Sounds great. Jason.
Yeah, thanks, guys. And hi, everyone. This is Jason, Retail Geek Goldberg. Been doing this almost as long as John, probably over 30 years. But the last 13 years at the Publicis Group, first at Razorfish with Giancarlo back in the OG days, and then part of Sapient. And today, if you're familiar with the Peter Principle, where we all get promoted to our level of incompetence, I look after commerce strategy for the whole group. So I've had the opportunity to be a competitor, colleague, but always a lucky friend of John's for, I was trying to think of the first time I met him, but I think it's been at least 15 years and probably longer that we've known of each other. So sad for the occasion, but so happy to be thinking about all the wonderful impacts and moments in my life that John has had. So I'm happy to be here. And the kind of one word that jumps to me whenever I think about John is generous. That, you know, he was always generous with his friendship, but also his expertise and knowledge. And he's one of those guys at the top of my Rolodex that I used to call for help at work all the time, and it never occurred to me that he might say no. He was the most reliable yes that I knew.
That's so great, Jason. Thank you. Jeff, and then Kelly.
Thanks, Rick. Yeah, I've known John for 15 years, and it's funny. I think we're going to talk a little bit about kind of how I met him. I came to the space. I was a fledgling. I knew nothing about commerce, and I started this mobile solution 15 years ago, and guess who was the only open arm I found? Was this guy, John Pinella. And I actually had the pleasure of working for him the past 3+ years with Giancarlo and got to see him in action, you know. And I would say one word is friend. He's been a friend for 15 years, a leader for the past three, an exceptional person.
Thanks, Jeff. And Kelly?
Thanks for pulling this together, Rick. I'm Kelly Gage, president of Pipe 17. I've known John since I was, how was I? How old was I? Probably 23. So yeah, I mean, 15 plus years now at this point. And the one word I used to describe him is gentleman, like a real old school, don't make him like this anymore, gentleman. Just the way he carried himself, the stature he had, his actual concern for others, not just this, I don't know, kind of artificial, hey, how's your weekend throwaway talk that we all engage in? But, you know, a real deep caring of other people in a way that I just don't think exists as often in our space anymore. So thanks again for pulling this together.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm Rick Watson, obviously host of the podcast, CEO of RMW Commerce. I met John originally, I would say, in 2012 timeframe, so 14 years-ish. And he didn't even know me that well, but I was CEO of a software company where I was struggling to figure out what product I had. And he told me we had a PIM when I didn't know what a PIM was. That's a true story. It's a crazy thought, but I'm like, maybe I should learn what a PIM is. Okay, that sounds great. So we'll use this to kind of go into, we have a couple of segments and directions that we're going to take the podcast. The first segment will be kind of the person and mentor that John was. And then we'll kind of go in next to really the industry force of nature that John was. So let's start with the person and mentor. I'm going to kick this over to Giancarlo to kick it off, because he, you know, was asked by the family initially, Linda and Rachel, to host, you know, on behalf of LinkedIn, and that generated over 250 some more comments there. And I think that would just be good to have everyone contribute, you know, starting from there.
Yeah, sure thing, Rick. So yeah, so the family asked me to make that announcement, and I think that showcases how the family trusted the community that John was in. And I think that was indicative of how much John talked about all of us on a regular basis, and how much John talked about his family to us on a regular basis. So I think that's what that signals for sure. In terms of John's mentorship style, you know, I know we've all experienced it, but I would say for me, what really stood out over the years as I've been reflecting on it, especially in the last couple of weeks, is, you know, he always taught by example. And I've always thought that, you know, one of the biggest things for leaders is, you know, some leaders like to ride alone, but the best leaders want to take you along for the ride. And I feel that, you know, that's what John did for me, and I know for a lot of us. And I think it's going to come out in this podcast, and it definitely came out in all the comments that people made that you just pointed out, Rick. But whenever he had an opportunity that he was elevated, or he got an award or a spotlight or an accolade, you know, he shared recognition for his people. Whether it was publicly or privately, he always tried to lift the people around him. And I think that leadership quality for me stuck out a lot. And a lot of people talk about doing that, but John actually did that regularly.
Thanks for sharing that, Giancarlo. Anyone else have stories that they would like to add to John the person, John the mentor?
I think I brought it up before. I was a nobody coming into this industry, and you know, John had already established himself. So we all know, guys. I mean, most people are very in it for themselves, or in it for what's around themselves. John had nothing he owed me, but I can tell you, he helped me so many times and my team craft the product, craft our go-to-market message. This was all on just one-off phone calls with nothing tied, you know. So I think Kelly brought it up before, a gentleman, just an incredible kind soul and a giving soul.
Yeah. This is Jason. I'll jump in. It's funny, when I think Giancarlo described it well, like John was really a guy that mentored and taught by example. You know, he wasn't someone that necessarily like dictated to everyone else how they should do something, but rather, you know, he practiced what he preached and did things the right way. And it was easy to sort of watch him and learn from that. And my first example of that was that, you know, when I first met John and I were competitors. And I worked for a small e-commerce integrator. I think John was already at Sapient then. And we both had similar roles in that we were the sort of go-to persons within our organizations to be subject matter experts about all these various commerce platforms. And, you know, our industry kind of has a well-earned reputation for being somewhat adversarial. And I would even say the normal behavior was somewhat bombastic, that like, you know, integrators would bad talk other integrators and talk about why they were better and how much more they knew and all these different things. And, you know, I think one of the most important lessons I ever learned from John is John never behaved that way. And John was super generous with me. The first time I met him, when he had no reason to be, I probably had some imposter syndrome about some of that subject matter expertise that John actually had. And you know, he was always happy to help me out and answer a question, you know, even though I'm sure Sapient didn't appreciate it at the time. And, you know, one of the things I'll regret is I never got to say it to him, and I'm sure I did it imperfectly, but I really have tried to model the way I interact with people and the way I treat nominal competitors in the world based on the lessons I saw from John. So I feel like I might have been a slightly more bombastic person had I not had John in my life.
I was going to contribute something as well. I always thought how amazing it was that he, as far as I know, always traveled with his wife, Linda, and always talked very fondly of her. And it wasn't like, oh, I got to go. I got to, you know, got to have, you know, dinner with the wife. You know, it wasn't any of that. It was very loving. And those two really had something special. And he talked about her a lot. And I just thought how great it was that those two were able to spend, you know, even during work events, they were able to go grab lunch together or something like that. And I mean, really, those two had a good thing going. So I feel especially sorry for her. I'm sure she lost quite a friend and husband there as well.
Yeah. Rick, if I can chime in actually too, and sort of going back to what Jason talked about, I think it was around the same time, but probably like 2 or 3 years earlier when I had met John. It was actually at a Demandware conference. And we were, same thing, we were competitors at the time. And someone introduced us, I think it was a casual setting. And instead of avoiding me, he like, you know, like we're all pointing out the way competitors sometimes do, he actually wanted to talk right off the bat. He started sharing and, you know, talking about what they were doing with Demandware, what was working, what wasn't. And honestly, I was pretty floored at the time, being a bit newer, right, in the commerce space. And he was sharing things that were not like out of an NDA kind of way. And Kelly, you mentioned that too in a post you did, I think a week or so ago. But he was just, you know, real down-to-earth guy. And little did I know that a few years later, it was like 2015, I think, timeframe when Sapient would be acquired by Publicis. And I think some of us on the Razorfish side sort of, you know, heard some rumblings. But I remember waking up that morning and reading the PR that they were just acquired. And one of the first things that popped in mind was, cool, I get to work with that guy that I met at the Manware conference. So that's the kind of lasting impressions that, you know, he had just weeks ago when you talk to people going back, you know, 15, 20, 30 plus years ago, just really shows you his character over the years was pretty lasting for sure.
Well, you know what, one of the great experiences that I had was walking a trade show floor with John.
Mm.
Right. Just that experience alone.
Wow.
You know, it's the people, it's first of all, everybody coming up to him. But it's not only coming up to him, you'd see people smiling from 30 yards, right? You'd see people hugging them. It was, if a picture could speak 1,000 words, that would be it.
So true. Yeah.
That's a very nice, way to put it. I want to tell you guys like this story because it resonates a lot with what you were saying. So to me, like for him to be a consultant, but yet like be like the human advisor that he was, the way that he welcomed you as a newbie. And I think that Giancarlo, you said that, and Jeff, you did as well. Was fantastic. And in my role, I get to see a lot of consultants, a lot of people that want to like influence the way that you are going to decide. And his Socratic way to kind of like lead you with questions and then listen to your point of view and then hypothesize with you and provide an opinion, but then listen to yours was phenomenal. And that mix of like this person that is an expert that really has a lot of experience for many years, that known everyone in the industry, yet listens to the new person was phenomenal. And yet what Kelly said, the very first time that I met him, he told me about Linda and Rachel and how he traveled with his wife, right? So the combination of things that you bring in one person is really, really like good and goes beyond the technical expertise that anyone can have.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think the trade show comment and the fact that he made people feel seen, even as they were new to the industry, is something that is definitely resonated with a lot of the comments that I saw and also in some of the stories. The trade show walking story just floors me because he had such an encyclopedic knowledge of the entire space. And so I would almost love to get Kelly and Jason to talk about what it meant to be associated with someone who was present literally from the creation of the industry. I know, Jason, you were there as well.
He just knew everyone. I mean, literally everyone in the world. And he knew them personally. He knew them professionally. He knew what their company's motivations were. He knew who you should go talk to if you were entering the U.S. market for the first time, as he did, as he wisely coached Dirk and I at Commerce Tools back in the day. He's just somebody, he's an information broker. He's a super connector. And he just had this way of networking in a way that, you know, as I think a lot of us have said, it's not transactional. It's very relationship driven. And you just don't see that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah, I'm chuckling because all you young kids are talking about these new platforms like Demandware. I feel I remember back in the day when John and I were competing against each other to sell Blue Martini implementations. So I just want to say, just want to throw that out. You guys can look it up on the internet sometime. But the trade show thing is so funny because it's hard for me not to picture John at a trade show because sadly he and I probably have spent too much of our lives at shows. I'm pretty sure I met John at a show in Germany, probably like a SAP show for the first time. I have all these memories I have of John are from shows. So there was a shop.org in Dallas at the Gaylord Hotel. And John and I were hanging out at that show. And that's actually the show where I met my wife. So John was with me when I first met my wife. And Kelly was talking about how proud he was of his family. That's been my experience as well. One of the worst decisions I ever made in my life is I once decided to attend 3 back-to-back shows in Las Vegas. So like Adobe, Sapphire, and like an IBM show. I stayed at the Venetian Hotel for 3 straight weeks. And in the middle of that time, I was probably suicidal. You should not stay in a hotel in Las Vegas for 3 weeks.
Sounds like a Shining episode, Jason.
It potentially could have been. But in the middle of that, you know, I ran into John, who was smart enough to go home on the weekends, by the way, and Linda, and, you know, two of them invited me to a dinner and kind of, you know, gave me some non-work human interaction that probably recharged my batteries. But I want to say, like, John and I have traveled to a lot of trade shows together. We stayed in a lot of, you know, mediocre to better accommodations at those trade shows. But little known fact, Linda is a wildly successful professional gambler. And so the hotels are much kinder to John and Linda than they are to the rest of us. And so let me just say that his accommodations at the Venetian were quite a bit nicer than mine. And as he's explaining all this to me, you know, you could just see how proud he was of his wife and his family. And it just dawned, you know, struck me how, you know, he was always a friendly, happy person. But, you know, the two things in my mind that always lit him up, especially were talking about his family and talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So
you hit it. Oh, my God, you hit it. Those were his two things, were the Steelers and his family, 100%. Yeah. Family or Steelers. Let me just make sure we got that correct.
Right. And just to add to Jason's comments, I think he had so many stays in Vegas throughout the years that he would get comps so much. And he would share those comps with some of his team. Like I would get rooms at the Venetian or wherever, the Caesar hotels, that just comped through the Pinella family. It was awesome. And then we always joke that, you know, John one day would get a residency in Vegas somehow, somewhere, just because all the time that he spent in Vegas, he would take up entertainment and do something. But, and then I think the third thing is, I agree with everything you guys are saying. And I lived through setting up, I can't tell you many meetings, especially the last 5 years, going to Vegas or trade shows in general. And I can tell you that we were probably never on time for any meeting at a trade show, because every time we walked from meeting to meeting, as you guys know, and you guys many times stopped us on our way to meetings, we'd see you, Jason or Kelly. And it was just funny. But he was so well known that it was great to soak that in.
And there was many meetings that Linda was a part of.
Right.
Right. How many meetings? Linda was part of many meetings.
Yeah. And Octavio, you were one of John's customers over the years, were you not?
I was, but you know what? Like, it's funny because I was the customer of Sapient, right? Mm. I was a customer of Publicis Sapient. I was not the customer of John. Like, John just was the advisor. Mm-hmm. John was the one that was listening to like my like basic questions at first, like big dilemmas at the end. Like that made it super simple for me to navigate the industry. And I need to credit many other people other than John as well. But like the fact that I knew that he was on my corner, even though he was part of the Mac Alliance, and that he was going to give me like an honest opinion on the strengths and weaknesses of things, it was just fantastic. So again, I would never say that he was my counterpart. There were others there, but yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a good segue into something Kelly can no doubt speak to regarding the Mach Alliance. Obviously, it was going through a leadership transition, and there are a number of people that could have reached out to John. I'm quickly rose to the top of the list. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I mean, John is of course the guy you call when you want to replace yourself as chairman of the Mach Alliance. Like, there's nobody else you would call, because he was a very early member and big backer. He understood, and as a board member, he was amazing. And later, as a chairman, you know, equally. And what I liked about his approach is, I distinctly remember we were sitting and we got our first in-person board meeting together after COVID, and we were in London, and John was advocating that as an alliance, we look at bringing Salesforce into the organization. And I thought it was so amazing that he would take that to the board and advocate for it so strongly when, you know, it's a different religion, right? And John actually made a lot of really good points why we should do it. And we never ended up doing it, but I always respect that he at least had the courage to bring up a very opposing view. And he argued for it in very good faith, in a way that was friendly and professional, almost diplomatic, if I'm to use that word. And he just, he's very much the elder statesman, right? I remember calling him Churchill at the time, because he just had that gravitas and that energy to him. And yeah. I still remember that meeting so well, and how passionate he was and just how well he advocated for that. But anyway, he was an amazing chairman, and I'm so happy that he stepped into that role. And I know he enjoyed his time doing it.
And this has been so many great stories. It's the knowledge, gravitas, generosity.
Hey Rick, I know we're running up on time, but there's one other point I have to get out, or it will haunt me forever, because I owe it to John to bring this up. But I mentioned his love of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I will say, like, one of these trade show events, we got to go to the newly opened Dallas Cowboy Stadium, which, of course, the Cowboys are the rivals of the Steelers. And John and a bunch of our other industry friends that were Steeler fans all smuggled their Steeler jerseys into this event and took some slightly bombastic photos of Steeler fans standing around the Dallas Star at the newly Christian Stadium. But the thing I have to tell all the listeners about the Steelers is, I, for gosh, 10 years now have run a fantasy football league for people in the commerce industry. And so Giancarlo and others have participated. And John has run a team for about 8 years in the league. And of course, always irrationally picks Steelers because of his love for the Steelers. And so you wouldn't think he would do well, but I owe it to John to point out that John is the league champion from 2022 with many of his beloved Steelers. So I just want to acknowledge that prodigious accomplishment.
That's so great. And I think it puts a cap on how much John liked to have fun. And one of his great passions was sports and the Steelers. To put a bow on everything, I think there's sort of one closing question around the room, which is, what's one thing that you're personally going to do differently or carry forward because of John? And, you know, Kelly, why don't you get us started?
I need to slow down a little bit. And John had a rhythm to him, a pace. And I find myself frenetic sometimes. Everything just moves so fast. And I match that energy. And even coming, you know, home after work, my wife tells me, just calm down, relax a little bit. And then I can get in a family mindset, and then everything is fine. But John had this, I don't know what you'd call it, deliberate pace to him, thoughtful, definitely slower than me. And I think he was a more effective leader when he was able to slow down and think more carefully before he spoke. And the energy was a lot better. So I want to mirror that energy more in my day-to-day.
Jeff?
Treat people with kindness. I've actually thought about that, Rick, since John's passing. And I think it's really, you know, how you be very conscious of how you treat people. And John treated everybody with kindness.
I do that, like, that the way that you show up matters more than what you know, right? Mm. Like, he was an expert, yet the way that he treated everyone was more important than anything else. And I think that's why when he walked the floor, everyone was ready to embrace him.
My big takeaway is, with a little bit of regret, to make sure I appreciate everyone in my life that I'm grateful for and that has been so helpful to me. You know, one of the unfortunate things, I think, like all of us, we all assume we had unlimited time with the people in our life, like John. And so I never took the opportunity to really tell him how much I appreciated him and how much he meant to me. And, you know, I won't get a chance to redo that, but I don't want to make that mistake with others. And so, unfortunately, I'll hopefully be better at that as a result of missing the opportunity with John.
No, thank you,
Jason.
And
by the way, I appreciate all of you.
Likewise. Oh, yeah. And thank you, Rick.
No problem. Giancarlo, want to close us out here?
Yeah, you bet. It's two things I would say professionally. You know, as I mentioned before, you know, John took me, took all of us along for the ride. And I'm going to try to make sure that, you know, when I lead and I have an opportunity to lead, that I lead with those qualities. I mean, there's so many qualities that John had that it's tough to surmise it, to recap anything. But I would say that's one thing. Second thing is, you know, on a personal note, it's going to sound a bit repetitive from what Jason just said, but this is what really comes to me, is that I agree, appreciate the people around you. I think, you know, we all appreciate each other. And I also appreciate all you guys and putting this together, Rick. But I would say we all have mentors. And John, like I mentioned at the top of this podcast, was near and dear to my heart. And he was a big mentor for me for many years. I would say if anyone listening has a mentor or mentors, just reach out to them, let them know how much they impact you, how much they have impacted you in whatever way, because you don't really get those chances later when things slip away. So That's what I would say to surmise things.
Thanks so much, Giancarlo. Yep. And I would be remiss if I didn't close the podcast speaking to acknowledge and thank the family, particularly Linda and Rachel and John's extended family. Hopefully, one of my goals for creating this, and I've done this for another industry person in the past, is sometimes the family doesn't always, I think in our case here, as everyone has made very clear, Linda was very much a part of John's professional life, which doesn't always happen in industry. But wanted to directly acknowledge Linda and Rachel and thank you for their contributions over the years. And hopefully that this serves as a way to memorialize how the broader industry felt about his professional impact and how that even extended to his personal impact. So this has been Rick Watson, host of the Watson Weekly podcast, and signing off. Thank you so much, everyone.